First of all, keep him out of the light. He hates bright light, especially sunlight. It'll kill him. Second, don't give him any water, not even to drink. But the most important rule, the rule you can never forget, no matter how much he cries, no matter how much he begs, never feed him after midnight. We're talking gremlins. Hit it. It was 1984. My Little Ponies were $4.99. The MTV Video Music Awards started. Cagney and Lacey were great TV cop partners. And Billy Peltzer got a Mogwai as a pet. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, joining me is a very special guest. You'll know him as the host of the Way Cool Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad podcast, Manny Torres. Manny, how's it going?
Oh, it's going really, really good. And oh, I like how my podcast name sounds from you. I'm going to have to get that recorded.
Well, I'll do what I can. Some days I get lucky. Oh, man. It's great to talk to you. How's your week been?
My week has been very, very long. Still Wednesday.
I know. Yeah. Now that I completely understand. And I was off on Monday.
I don't remember when my last day off was. So.
Yeah, we started moving to 6 days a week. So my only day off now is Monday. And it's fine. You know, it's more money. It's, you know, it's fun. I get to help people with Christmas lights and stuff like that. But yeah, it's tiring too.
I wish you were close to me.
Yeah, we're a pretty cool store there. And we had some people in this, it was yesterday. And it was like their first time in. They had never been in before. So it was like, you know, everything, that looking at our cluster lights and the garland and the wreaths. And there's a little part, they just call it trees at the store, which I think is a little boring. I call it the Christmas tree forest. And so, you know, they got to go through the Christmas tree forest. And I mean, it was just, they were really impressed. And so it's like one of those where it's like, oh man, I wish I could just share that with everybody, you know? So when you're definitely in the area, you got to come visit just to hang out.
I definitely will. Now I kind of want to fill up my tank and recharge my battery. Have a little road trip.
Hey, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, and take my mask with me, obviously, right?
There you go. Yeah, of course. So when I asked you to be on the show, I gave you, you know, a couple of options of things you might want to do. And you said, I want to do Gremlins. Let's do Gremlins. What is it about Gremlins that, you know, like, what's your experience with it? What is it about it that makes you want to choose it?
All right. So I've been watching this movie since I was little.
Nice.
As in the past 10 years, I bought this movie twice, but only got around to watch it almost complete recently.
Oh, okay.
When I was little, I was a little afraid of it. I had to watch with my eyes covered. I mean, if that makes any sense. There are a lot of things that freaked me out, but I liked it. I've always liked scary movies and stuff like that. But Gremlins, I don't know, it's just been an addiction. Gizmo, I've always loved Gizmo, and it wasn't until today that I realized why the dad named him Gizmo.
Because he's an inventor?
Yeah. I'm like, why is Gizmo? And here's the thing. I opened a store, I can mention it now because it's closed, an online store for a company I used to work for. It was Gizmo Bay.
Oh, okay, nice.
And it was just because a friend of mine got me a Gizmo t-shirt, and they were looking for names and this, and since it was a bunch of little electronic stuff, I looked down and I see my Gizmo shirt. I'm like, yep, let's go with this.
Nice.
It wasn't patented. There was no lawsuits coming, so I built it for them.
Right on. Yeah, Gizmo's like super cute. I mean, he is. I always loved him. We had the toy. We even had like a little, I think it was about 3-inch toy that was like hard plastic. But same as you, I was like afraid of the actual gremlins, especially Stripe. Like Stripe, he creeped me out, man. I mean, I was terrified of him because he always seemed a little more cunning and ruthless than like all the other gremlins. You know, they were kind of playful, but he was more like, he was just mean. And so I just, you know, I was the same way. And I remember seeing this. It was because it came out the same day as Ghostbusters. And I remember it was like a double feature at the movie theater there in the mall. It was La Plaza Mall. And I remember my parents took me to see it. And Ghostbusters was first. So that one scared me more at first because, you know, in the library scene with the librarian ghost and she, you know, gets all, you know, whatever, monstrous. And so, I mean, I was like terrified. So I know I closed my eyes. I somehow fell asleep. You know, when I woke up, it was Gremlins and you know, Gizmo was like so cute. And then all of a sudden, bam, they hit you. And those monsters, I mean, yeah, it got
right
me.
After the pupil stage.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. After that, it was like, oh, you know, I was only 4 when it came out. So it was like, I mean, I was terrified. And of course, as I grew up, I watched it again and it was like, it wasn't that bad. And it was actually kind of fun. And I know my parents were a little upset that, you know, the whole time they thought it was gonna be like a fun family movie. And in the end, it was not quite what, you know, what it actually is. But they know that I was too young and I didn't even really remember anything about it, but yeah. Well, it was good.
Like watching it today, I'm gonna go straight to that story I told you that I have about this.
Okay, go for it.
So when you tell me Gremlins, when you give me the option and I choose Gremlins, I search for it on my Apple TV and I'm like, ooh, they have it on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. So I started watching and I told my wife, I'm going to watch a clip, you know, every other day just to see what I pick up new that I hadn't seen before.
Okay.
I started watching it. I got busy from work and everything. So I paused it. I put it in my, you know, to watch list. And come October, HBO Max took it off.
It was Gremlins, man.
they took it off, and I'm like, what am I gonna do? So I'm like, okay, so I'll just rent it. Like, it's $4 to rent it.
Yeah, that's what I ended up doing. Yeah.
And then this afternoon, like, my wife comes from work to eat with me, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, I'll rent it later. But then after she gets off work, I'm like, it's $4. Let me see how much it is at Walmart. So it's $3.76.
Nice.
I'm like, I could save 24 cents, you know. And Walmart from here is 3 minutes, so.
Nice.
So we head to Walmart, but when we're walking in, I ask her, do we take a cart? Nope, we're just going to go get that movie. Okay. So we went in the bin for the $3.76 movie. We can't find it. Then I start searching on the app, and I'm like, okay, they have it on Blu-ray, so I'll pay whatever it is for Blu-ray, even if it's more than the $4 I was going to spend renting it, but I'll just have it.
But then you'll own it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, but here's the funny thing. I already have this movie in Puerto Rico, but it's still with all my movies that haven't been shipped since my move. I've only been here a year and a half.
Okay.
So I go to the Blu-ray stand, and I see the double feature.
Mm-hmm.
1 and 2, I'm like, I scan it with my phone. Well, $7.
Can't beat that.
So that's not the funny part of the story. That's not the fun part.
Okay.
So actually, we ended up paying for this movie $148.
What?
Yeah, we took a detour to see how the Christmas decoration aisles were coming along. And we see, like, the ones that have to have the garland and the tree ornaments and stuff, kind of empty. And my wife's like, oh, that wasn't here, you know, over the weekend. Mm-hmm. We go every week. But we have this addiction with Christmas villages.
Okay.
But we've held back because we were renting.
Right.
So on Sunday, we went by and the lady told us, like, every day there's a new truck, so we could go, you know, mostly every week.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do that because then I'm gonna go broke.
right.
So I'm like, let's just go look. So I go by I didn't even go see the other decorations, the exterior decorations or anything. I looked at the Christmas village part, and there were only 3 things on Sunday, and there were about 20 things today.
Oh, wow.
And I start grabbing stuff, I'm like, wait, still Wednesday. okay, let me grab another one and another one. And I grabbed some lights and some people and a little dog trying to put his letter to Santa in the mailbox.
Nice.
I tell my wife, no. Okay. The wallet. Nope. Let's keep going. We do that every time we see new stuff. We just go for it. But it's Wednesday. We usually do that on a weekend.
Right.
So I guess this week is going to be double. So we go by, but I mean, it seems like cart full. And next thing I know, my Gremlins movie came out to $148. And I will share on social media later on once I have all that put together. Mm-hmm. And I guess my living room, dining room, and I guess I'm going to put my furniture in the basement because we keep buying stuff for that village. We haven't done that like in a few years, but...
It reminds me of my growing up, my best friend's dad. He like they had this huge dining room table, and normally, you know, that's they wouldn't really eat it on there. It was just, you know, it was like the decoration. They would go eat in the kitchen, you know, the breakfast nook in the kitchen most of the time. And every Christmas though, he would take out his Christmas villages and he would set it all up on the table. And I mean, that thing was like massive, and he would always adding new things. And eventually it wasn't just a table. He had to get like another table in to expand it. And I mean, it was fun because my family would go Christmas caroling. So we'd go to his house to Christmas carol. And then he'd invite us, you know, they would always invite us in for hot chocolate. And every time his village would be all set up. And I mean, it was just massive. So I know how addicting those things can be, for sure.
and we're just getting started. Like I told my wife this year, I wanted to start buying stuff in September.
Okay. So
we've started in September. Whenever you've seen it in Discord when I post pictures of the places, yes, that I'm going. First of it, it was Hobby Lobby, and we should get paid for mentioning these places.
Yeah. If you guys want to sponsor us, we'll be perfectly fine with that.
Anything would do.
Little, for, you know, real.
Like, give us 30 seconds and the ornament, I'll be happy with that.
Or just give us an ornament. There you go.
So I've been going and going. And one thing that I said it on my podcast before, I haven't seen, like, at least the places that I've been before I moved here, a lot of places decorated. So I was hesitant about decorating here, mm-hmm, but there's so many people with these awesome Halloween decorations, mm-hmm, that we're going to have to adjust the budget for our Christmas lights. Because
I understand.
Come this weekend. Yes. Christmas lights it is.
I understand. And, you know, we've been getting a lot of contractors coming in, and yes, we're recording this in October, even though it's going to drop, you know, in mid, like right in the middle, smack dab in the middle of the season. But a lot of contractors have been coming in and just buying like orange and purple bulbs, because a lot of people want to put up Halloween lights, and then they're going to switch them out to the Christmas lights when they're done. So, you know, we have that kind where you just screw in the new bulbs and, you know, stuff like that. So they're just swapping their bulbs out. And so we're going through a lot of orange and purple, which I thought was kind of cool. But yeah, don't feel bad about putting up lights, man. Everybody needs it, especially this year. It's cool. Just, you know, do what you got to do. You know, decorate however you want, because 2020 is rough.
Oh, and I'm going to have a Halloween episode. Nice. By this time, everybody's going to be able to hear it. And
right,
it's Christmassy, but it's about 2020. So that's a
spooky, gotcha.
That's a spooky episode. And I could say it now because nobody's going to hear this from before. So,
yep. I think I heard that one already. I think it's great. By the time this drops, I will have heard it. So well,
I'm gonna,
really I'm good.
Gonna,
check it
I'm
out.
Gonna start, I'm going to start posting it. And I'll stop on the Discord. All right, but talking about lights and Christmas and all this, let's go back to the Gremlins.
Yes.
This movie, the way it starts, it starts out creepy because this guy's, you know, look, you know, trying to sell his what's his little invention called, and getting the gift for this Christmas gift for his son.
Oh yeah, the Peltzer. The shave buddy? No,
The bathroom buddy.
Yes.
it starts out creepy. This little kid takes him down the alley to his grandpa's store. Okay.
He's like in the middle of like Chinatown. It's you're right. It's like really atmospheric. You know, I mean, it's like,
no Christmas-y at all.
No, not at all. Which, you know, I mean, and you know, this actually came out in June, and a lot of critics were kind of I don't know, not upset, but a lot of critics were kind of like ragging on it a little bit because they thought it was perfect for like, you know, December. It should have been, or November. It should have been one of those releases. But yeah, you're right. It's not Christmassy at all, like at all.
And that part is not, but right after he gets his, the Mogwai, it's one of the most Christmassy scenes.
Yes.
And probably in Hollywood history, honestly. Like, because it feels very Christmassy, because I know what I'm watching, and I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, this is, I don't like this part, it's boring or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could have played that out anyway, but as soon as they switch to the Christmas feels, oh my God, you get the Christmas feels, you get the Christmas chills. It's nice.
Well, a lot of it, yeah, it's the lighting. I mean, so, you know, of course, he goes to the shop. He's looking at different things. The shop owner's like, no, you can't have that. I'm sorry. You know, that's not for sale. But he's like super intrigued by it. He's like, well, I think that would make a great gift for my son. And he's like, nope, nope. But then as the guy's walking out, the grandson of the shop owner is like, you know, hey, we need the money. It's okay. I'll sell it to you. And so, but he tells him the rules, the three rules that, you know, you can't, don't feed it after midnight, you know, no sunlight, it'll kill him. And of course, don't ever get him wet. And so he's like, okay, fine, fine. So you're right. As soon as he goes home and he's, you know, giving the present to Billy, it's the way it's lit with like the fireplace going and just everything on the inside. It's, yeah, it's super like warm and inviting, and it draws you right in, and you just want to cuddle up under a blanket, you know, with that fire roaring, and like read a book or listen to some Christmas music or something. I mean, it's so great, you know? And yeah, it's just, you're right. It's definitely Christmassy.
The house, yeah. I mean, the house feels old school Christmas, which I wish we had that. I mean, I wish there was a way this whole 2020, you know, would reset in 2021, and we could get those type of feels back. Mm-hmm. But then the town. Oh, and the funny thing is, his dog looks like the Grinch's dog.
He does kind of look like Max, doesn't he?
Yep.
Yep. And so he gives him, you know, he gives him the present. He turns out it's a creature called a Mogwai. It's a kind of like a transliteration of a Cantonese word. Essentially, it means like devil or demon or monster, something like that. And I started going down a rabbit hole this way, so I'm gonna keep it short. But essentially, it's like some sort of demon. And in the novelization, which is kind of cool, you know, in the novel, you know, they normally with movies like these, they come up with the novelization of it. And they had like some crazy intro where in the novelization, they were actually creatures engineered by like an alien race, these Mogwai, but they were like, their DNA was like unstable. And so only one out of every like 10,000 would always stay that Mogwai, and all the rest, you know, they would break down and go through all that, you know, pupil stage and all that stuff. And, you know, so it was like this whole backstory that was kind of cut from it, although in the novelization for part two, they do kind of mention about that too. So I just thought that was interesting, because not these novelizations, generally the author has some leeway. They can like add some scenes if they don't think something makes sense. But sometimes they're also like working off of like an earlier draft of the script. So I kind of wonder if like that was like part of the, like an earlier version of the script, or if that was just, you know, like the author's imagination. And I had never been able to find out, which is a shame, because I mean, I'm really interested now. I want to know.
isn't there like a Gremlins reboot planned or something? I mean, everything's rebooting. So
I did hear that they were hoping to do a sequel. So it wouldn't be an actual reboot. It was going to be a sequel with, you know, Zach Galligan and you know, Phoebe Cates as well. So I'm really hoping they do that, because that would be super cool.
Yeah, that'd be better. That'd be better than a reboot. At least give us a true backstory to it.
Well, especially now, I mean, we're getting all these like 80s properties being not just rebooted, but like, you know, continued. So we have Cobra Kai, you know, that one's the most popular. Yeah, for sure. Yes, yes. That should be a whole bonus episode there. Maybe I'll do that later. But yeah, I mean, you know, with all these 80s properties and nostalgia for the 80s, like big, I mean, why not bring them back? Why not do it? You know, I think it would be something really cool, and I'd like to see, and set it at Christmas again. You know, I mean, just like bring it full circle. I think it'd be awesome.
One can only hope. I mean, if you're listening to this, Hollywood,
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if I have that much clout, but
hey, you never know.
That is also true. Sometimes it's just the right place at the right time.
So, and I'm in the right episode. I feel like I'm in the right episode.
Cobra Kai, come on, guys, you can do it. Netflix. But yeah, so he gives Billy the Mogwai, and right away, you know, he's like, you know, he's called Mogwai, but I call him Gizmo. And so the mom gets all excited and she wants to take a picture, but right away the Flash, you know, it like causes Gizmo to freak out, and he's like, bright light, you know, and that was my Gizmo voice, sorry. And so, you know, he's like, oh yeah, there's these rules, I forgot to tell you. And so the dad tells him the rules and he's like, okay. And that's where it starts to take a little bit of a shift here, because now we see Billy trying to be a little bit better. And I love how Billy is like, he works at a bank and he's got this awful neighbor, you know, Mrs. Deagle, whatever, but he works at a bank and you can see he wants to be like an artist.
He's really into comic books.
Yeah, he's really into comic books. He wants to make it kind of a thing. And it's just, he's kind of just stuck right now at like this job at the bank. And so there's like this whole little subplot of him and his dreams kind of a thing, which we kind of see later on in part two, where he, you know, when he's working at that firm, you know, in the building with, what's his name, John Glover's character. Have you ever seen part two?
I've seen it. I haven't seen it in a long time. But hey, since I bought it today, I'm going to see it.
There's and I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but there's a funny Key and Peele episode or a sketch where, so like, what's his name? Peele. Wait, I forgot which one's Peele. Keys. Keys is the, is plays Joe Dante, the director of Gremlins. And he's like meeting with like his writers and he's like, all right, this is Gremlins 2. It should write itself, should be so simple. And then Peele comes in and he's like a Hollywood script doctor. And he's like, don't, you know, I'm just, whenever Hollywoods are about to do sequels, I come in and I fix them up. And so he's like, you know, it would be fun if everyone can make up their own gremlin. So then he just goes down the line around the table. He's like, what about an electric gremlin? What about a girl gremlin? And yeah, you know, all sorts of things. And so of course, every single one of those appear in the movie. And so it's kind of funny, but I'll send you the link just cause I love that sketch.
You know, I never got into Key and Peele, but I do watch all the things that are shared on social media about them. Mm-hmm. Like after Chappelle left Comedy Central, that was it for me, for shows.
It's funny because I never really got into Key and Peele either, but my brother, he knows that I like, you know, that I'm really into like 80s stuff like that and nostalgia. And so he's like, hey, you got to check this sketch out. So I checked it out and it was funny.
So, that's how I know about him, basically. Like,
same here. The Aaron sketch. I was going to
say that. Jake Quillen.
Jake Quillen. That's so good. Jake Quillen. You say your name right. Oh, man. So Billy and his friend Pete is over, who's played by Corey Feldman, a young Corey Feldman, which it's one of those that I just completely forgotten. His friend Pete's over. He's like, hey, you know, it's cool. And then he accidentally spills water on him. And so this is a really cool piece of puppetry that they actually did, because it was essentially a balloon that they covered with fur. And then they started to, you know, make it expand. And so I thought that was like really cool what they did. But yeah, Gizmo, you start to see like these little, I don't know, growths on him, and then they kind of pop off and they turn into their own Mogwai. But these ones are not quite as nice and friendly and cuddly as Gizmo is.
But as old as those movies are, and that's not CGI, like it's minimum CGI, like it's creepy. And I was watching, and I was watching it, you know, 2 hours ago, and I'm looking, I'm like, wow, that's really disturbing. It's just very, very realistic. Like, there's no computer, there's no computer touch up on that. Like, it's just plain disgusting, which is what they're going for. And
right
to this day, it sticks.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, and I kind of, you know, I understand that CG is hard to do, and I respect all the people. In fact, I have a friend that works in, you know, that business, and so he's really good, and he goes through a lot. On the other hand, though, there's something about practical effects that feel more real. And it's because they are real. You know, they're not just something created on a computer. And so you're right. There's like something like visceral and just, I mean, it just, it feels like you can feel the intensity of it just because it is so real. And they had to figure out, I mean, they had to think about it. Like, how are we going to make this look like this creature, you know, these things are popping off of him. And so they had to sit down and think about it. And so I thought that was kind of cool that they made it look really good.
Yep. And the expressions, they're creepy. They're evil.
They sure are. Yeah.
Because if you look at it from one point of view, they're all like the same mold, but then you've seen the expressions and the eyes and everything. And like something that's supposed to be so tiny. I mean, hey, I'm 35 years old and scares the crap out of me. I kid you not. Like I jumped a few times. Like I got startled a few times watching it.
There are quite a few jump scares. Yeah. So Gremlins was one of the first movies one of the first mainstream movies, to really blend like horror and comedy. And so it was kind of groundbreaking in that sense. Not that it hadn't been done before, but Gremlins was so huge. I mean, it literally, on its opening weekend, only made $1 million less than Ghostbusters. And then by the end of its run, I mean, it had made, I think it was like $212 million, something like that. I don't remember exactly. But I mean, it did really well, you know, for an $11 million budget. I mean, it was like out of this world at the time. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's real. It looks really great. And it is kind of scary. But at the same time, Gizmo's like so cuddly and cute, man. You just want to like hold him and like snuggle with him, you know, while watching TV or something, you know. Which, by the way, for the close-ups of his face, they had to make a larger puppet that could get more of the expressions. And most of the Gremlins, of course, were done with puppets. They had tried to do, and I thought this was kind of crazy, that they had tried to use monkeys, like dressed up, but it just didn't work.
thank God it didn't work.
So they were able to really make it, you know, make it work with the puppetry. And so these new Mogwai are kind of vicious, and right away they kind of trick Billy into feeding them after midnight.
I mean, they're just begging and being loud, and it, they're so smart.
Yes.
Like something that was just born a few hours ago, you know, they're already so smart. They could pronounce stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They could read.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
They could hang the dog in the, you know, out in the porch.
that was a great bit. Yep.
I mean,
it was a lot of little great bits creepy in here. But yeah, you're right. They're clever, and especially their leader, Stripe. And he's called that because he has like this little mohawk on the top of his head, you know, his little white mohawk. And so we named him Stripe. And so Billy is kind of like, okay, what am I going to do? So before he feeds him, he actually takes one to his science teacher. And so he's like, okay, well, I'll keep an eye on him and, you know, stuff like that. And so this is where we get the bad stuff happens. So this is like the super big turning point. So before, you know, okay, you know, something's going to happen. He's got the pet now. No, but this is it. And so this is where I really start to pay attention here. You know, it's like, you really dig your teeth into this one. So they trick him. They actually cut the cord on his clock. They like chew through the cord or something. I don't know, maybe with scissors. I don't know. They do something. And so they start crying and complaining that they're hungry.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah. It's the best. It's like the best. And so they're all complaining and everything. And so he's like, well, it's not midnight yet. Cause I think they stopped at like 10:30 or something like that. Or it was around there. And so he's like, well, it's not midnight. So yeah, I'll feed them. So he goes, he gets them like fried chicken.
Fried chicken just left over in the fridge. Sitting there.
Yeah. I've never seen that ever in my life. At most in our house, maybe two pieces. That's about it. if that. But a whole plate of fried chicken, which as they're eating it is like disgusting. You know, I mean, they're really getting into it. And you can see the tendons and everything, the skin being pulled away. And they're like really feasting on it.
When he tries to give Gizmo one, he's like, eh?
And Gizmo's like, no. And this is why I love Gizmo, because he's like so pure of heart, you know.
He's chill. He's just chilled and laid back.
Yeah, he's like, no, nah, I'm good, man. I'm good, you know. Yeah, he's so cool. And in apparently in the novelization, Gizmo admits to, you know, the other gremlins that if he ate after midnight as well, he would just turn into one of those and he would become evil also. So Gizmo's got like real willpower here, you know, which I really like. You know, he's like, he's kind of like a hero. And then of course we see in the sequel where he puts on like the red bandana. He's like Rambo with the flaming arrow. Oh man, it's funny. But yeah, so they eat after midnight. Even the one at the scientists or at the science professors.
Yeah, he takes a sandwich.
Yeah, he does.
Over sandwich.
And so they turn, they form these
But you know the evilest thing in this movie is not a gremlin, right? It's a science teacher.
Because doesn't he like pokes him and he's prodding him and
yeah, I mean, and he's like this daytime teacher and like this like late night Dr. Frankenstein or something like that. He's creepy, like. But he gets his, so.
Yeah, he does. He does. He really does. But even in the sequel, there's the, you know, Christopher Lee kind of plays the sadistic scientist working, you know, for that company. And so it's kind of one of those where I guess it is a commentary on man. And of course, the people have read deeper meanings into gremlins and stuff like that. And I kind of think, I mean, Joe Dante's a smart guy. I kind of believe it. I think he really did, you know, write. Or maybe not right, but he really did direct it in such a way that you could, because this was Chris Columbus that wrote it. And so, you know, you could actually direct it in such a way that you can read it as like a commentary on, you know, on humanity in general. And, you know, we're prone to violence, that kind of a thing. So,
yep, because I mean, that teacher.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is those gremlins are scary. Yeah, so he gets up, Billy, you know, he goes to work, whatever, and he finds them in their pupa stage, you know, or pupil, whatever it's called, and you know, he finds their larva essentially, or their eggs, I guess, that, you know, cocoons, I guess, is the best way to say it. Yeah, he finds their cocoons in his room, which was like the scariest thing to me growing up. Like even scarier than some of the other things. I was scared of that. I was so afraid of like coming into my room one day and seeing those cocoons like all over the place. And I don't even have a Mogwai, but for some reason I thought that they were going to show up in my room, you know?
Well, and I mean, he's chill when he sees four or five of them there. He's just chill. Okay, well, bye.
yeah, pretty much. It's like, sorry, mom, I got to go. Which
he wasn't surprised about anything. He wasn't that surprised when they multiplied. He wasn't that surprised when all these cocoons were all over the place. I mean,
yeah, I don't know, man.
Something wrong with him.
It's for real. For real. But the crazy thing is that then his poor mom has to like fight off all these gremlins that hatch from like the cocoons, you know? And I mean, so like, I think one of them she puts in like a blender.
In a blender? One of them she stabs.
Yep, she's and then another one was in the microwave.
And that was three right there. And then when he walks in, he gets number four in the fireplace.
Yep.
So here's the thing: I forgot, you know, how this whole movie, you know, develops. I completely forgot about that. So I'm counting. So there's one that just ran out of the house, mm-hmm. and then there's one in the school. So while I'm watching, and I'm like, okay, so you know, this is almost over. So I didn't think this movie was so short, but keep in mind that I dove into this movie, like completely forgot that I've watched it before and completely forgot the whole chaos.
Right.
I'm like, yep. Okay. So I'm counting. There's two left. One at the school and one just jumped out the window. So, you know, and the mom, you know, she's awesome. She, you know, she took three out, you know, in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them, you know, the fourth one's barbecue. So we're good.
Well, and she did better than the science teacher.
Yep. Science teacher could have handled one.
No, it got him. He was going to give it some sort of, I don't know what chemical he had. I don't remember what he put in the syringe. And so he was just going to like get it. And instead it got him.
Oh, that was a COVID cure. ahead of its time.
I didn't realize it. For real though. But it, yeah, it cured him. cured him of life, I guess.
He's not gonna get COVID though.
No, he's sure not. But so they're following, you know, so Stripe like escapes and he manages to get into a YMCA and jump into a pool, which is like crazy. I mean, at this point now it's just gremlins upon gremlin upon gremlin.
That's when I got anxious.
That was like scary. I love how Kate, you know, his girlfriend, Billy's girlfriend, she, you know, played by Phoebe Cates, she works in a bar, and I love how later on she's like just serving the gremlins. It's like such a weird, funny bit that just doesn't really...
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, but it's funny.
You know what else didn't make sense to me?
And what's
it was
that?
As soon as Stripe jumped out the window,
uh-huh.
It's snow. There's snow everywhere. Snow melts. I mean, there's a big plot hole right there, and that's the only thing that kind of gets me. I mean, snow melts, so he should have been popping, you know, gremlins all over the city.
Yeah. That's true. I didn't even think about it because I'm from Texas where we don't get snow really like every once in a while. So, you know, I don't really have a whole lot of experience with it, but that's true. You're right. I mean, you would think, yeah, it would melt and just be wet and puddle here. Just jumping from puddle to puddle, yeah. Spawning more gremlins.
So I was watching and I'm like, and I told my wife, cause she started watching with me. I'm like, isn't snow supposed to melt? Like, okay, plot hole.
Yeah, well, you know, nobody's perfect.
that's the only bad criticism I have, since, you know, it comes from the 80s, and remember back then there was competition when it came to scary stuff. So
yeah, oh yeah, and for it, real,
like I said, no CGI, it's pretty realistic, the rest of it, except the snow.
Well, and then this movie kind of spawned like a lot of like imitators, so like what is it, Ghoulies, and I mean, a lot of those types of movies, and just all these random, you know, little creature kind of movies that, you know, tried to copy it. And of course they were not very successful, but, you know, I mean, they are what they are on their budget. They did their best, but I mean, it's one of those where it was kind of an influential movie, you know, movie. What am I talking about? An influential movie. There, I said it. you know, it was a Troll was another one. Troll and like
Tremors.
Munchies. I think there was one called Goblins. No, Hobgoblins, something like that. And so it's like about these little creatures. You know, the Critters is kind of like the same thing. And so it was all these movies that kind of tried to imitate what Gremlins actually did. And I thought that's kind of cool. But
I think it was Critters that kept coming up out of that DVD box, that DVD basket that I was looking in.
Oh, it was that one? Yeah.
Yeah, no. Like, it kind of looked like a Gremlin. Like, nope, that's not it. That's not Gizmo.
Yeah, it's like a Mogwai with like the Gremlin face or something. You know, just that evil. The scowl. Nope,
that's not it.
So Billy, he goes to the police to try to warn them. Of course, they don't believe him. They think he's just some punk kid, you know. It's the creatures. That's the creatures, you know. And
they're going down on the spike eggnog.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think one of the cops even tells the other one, like, you're drunk or something. But like, you know, they start wreaking havoc literally all over the city. So like they burst into the Futterman's with his bulldozer. And then same thing with Mrs. Deagle, who's like the evil kind of, you know, Scrooge kind of lady, Grinch, I guess, of the town, who even threatens his dog, you know. But I mean, they mess with her chair, her chairlift to go up the stairs. And this is like my favorite part of the whole movie, because it's like, as un-Christmassy as it is, it's also very Christmassy.
Yep.
Where like, you know, she hears carolers and she's like, and so she goes outside, she's gonna like splash them with water, but she stops because she notices they're all the gremlins, the creatures, and they're scary little monsters, but they're there with like the scarves and like the little hats, the they're just singing Christmas carols. It's like the funniest thing ever.
And they're smart. That's why I said, like, they're really, really smart. They were just born.
Yeah, you're right. because those were born even later than the others, weren't they?
Yep.
And so she like runs back inside and is like, ah, but she didn't know that one of the gremlins snuck inside and messed with her chairlift. And so she gets on it and she like literally flies up, so much so that she flies like out the window. And, you know, of course she dies.
When the cops hear it, that was Mrs. Deagle. Well, Mrs. Deagle, that was. I'm like,
yeah.
Don't put the conclusions real quick.
I think, yeah. This movie is so funny. I mean, it's also scary, but it's also like so funny. But at the same time, you're right. There's like so much like iconic Christmas, you know, imagery that it's like, it's hard to not get Christmas feels from it.
And there's Silent Night. And during some creepy parts, the background music is actually Silent Night.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jerry Goldsmith. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, that's one of my favorite songs. Now it's going to creep me out for quite a while. after you realize that you're listening to Silent Night while this, like most of this crap is going on towards like mid beginning of the film.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Jerry Goldsmith, he's like one of my all time favorite composers. And a lot of the music, especially like the main theme and stuff like that, is done like on electronics. So it's a lot of like synth. And I mean, he would always kind of incorporate some, you know, synths with like the actual orchestra, but there's like a lot of synths here, you know, especially, you know, the main theme, dun, 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 you know, that kind of, and so where he uses like the tone where it almost sounds like the creature kind of singing itself, you know, but I mean, it's a great score. It actually won like a Saturn Award, I think, for score. I mean, it's really good. It's really creepy, but it's also kind of playful. And then of course you get Gizmo's theme, which he sings, you know, later on, and it's like so sweet and it's nice.
Yeah, but you hear it towards the beginning, his theme a little bit, basically when they're introducing him. Mm-hmm. But then like dun 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 dun, as soon as like they get in, what is it, like in his dozer or whatever it is, that's yep. when they start going like full yep. hardcore with it.
Yes, yeah, it's like a great theme.
And it's creepy. And like now I'm like, I feel creepy now, like thinking about it.
Sorry, my bad.
I just watched it. Like I'm saying, like it's still there, because that's one of the things that I never paid attention to until I don't know how many years ago. But then like when it starts playing there, you're like, oh, all hell is breaking loose now. Yeah.
Yeah. For real. But I love how Billy, he like goes to check on Kate, and she, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, she's there serving the gremlins at the bar. And Stripe is there, and he's like he's got his cards, and you know, I mean, doesn't he even like shoot one of the other gremlins, I think? Or am I thinking of part two? I might be getting mixed up now.
There's one there with a gun in
it. With
mask.
A gun, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, they're ruthless. They destroy electronics. And I mean, the whole Gremlins theme kind of came up from like the Royal Air Force when they were fighting in, you know, World War II. Anyway, you know, when some of their equipment was kind of malfunctioning. So they kind of created this, oh, it's Gremlins kind of a thing. You know, they kind of latched onto that. And so they, you know, of course the movie took that, Chris Columbus took it and wrote this whole thing about it. But I mean, I just think it's funny that a lot of the mischief they cause is because they're like messing with jukeboxes and chairlifts, and you know, they're sabotaging the snow, you know, what's it called, the bulldozers, and you know, things like that. And so it really is from like electronics. So he goes to her, and the only way that they get away is because she's got like the, you know, the Polaroid camera and the flash. She starts flashing everybody, taking their pictures, and the flash just makes them like because you know they hate bright light. And so they manage to like get out from there, which I thought was a great bit. It's, especially because, you know, it's the Polaroid, so like the thing would come out. I mean, it was funny.
You know, it's funny that his car starts up like right before that scene. His car starts up really quick and everything, but as soon as they need the car,
which, you know, they kind of set up earlier in the movie about his car having problems starting. So you know, it's one of those where they don't want it to just be like coincidence. It's like, well, you know, his car does have problems starting sometimes, but you're right, it seems like at the most inconvenient time all of a sudden,
as usual.
Of course. Yeah, that's horror movie logic there. if it can go bad, it will at the wrong time.
They end up at the bank.
They go to the bank. Yes, they do go to the bank, and that's where we get that great monologue from Kate about her dad.
That's why I said the only plot hole that I've seen is the snow. Because, yeah. I mean, towards the beginning of the movie, she's saying that, you know, if anybody hates Thanksgiving or anything else, nothing. But, you know, if she hates Christmas, they'll look at her like a leper. So,
yeah.
So I'm like, okay. And I kid you not, I did not remember about her monologue in the bank. So when I when I saw it, I'm like, okay, so that covers that part.
It was a great little monologue there. I mean, it's like so sad, but at the same time, her delivery of it, it's kind of funny. And I hate to laugh at it, but every time she starts, I just crack up, you know, where her dad, you know, dresses up as, you know, a certain Christmas person and comes down the chimney and ends up getting stuck.
How did he break his neck?
I don't know. Well, I think he slipped. I think his footing or something, because didn't he get stuck? And so then he just kind of...
I don't know. It seemed to me like he tried to dive in there.
I don't know, man. All I know is I'm never doing that. If anything, I'll come in through a window, maybe. That's about it.
I'll stick to the door.
That's probably what I'm going to do.
I did it for my oldest nephew. Like, I dressed up as a $10 Santa Claus because I went, it was Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Needed some wrapping paper, and I'm at, let me mention it just in case for sponsorship, Walgreens. And like,
got to keep those plugs coming, man.
Just in case, you never know who might, you know, something might hit. And it's these little packets. I thought it was like a chair dress or like something you stick on the door, but it was $10.
So
I'm going to buy it. And then it's 50% off from there.
Nice.
So my mom's waiting for me at the car. She's like, what is this? I'm like, I don't know. I think you cover a door. She's like, yeah, but I mean, it's Christmas Eve. You're going to decorate now? I'm like, yeah, why not? I mean, it's Christmas Puerto Rico. It'll last forever.
Right. Yeah.
When I get home, it has a beard. It has a hat. It's just very, very thin, like costume.
Oh, I got you.
I still dressed up like, you know, like our guy from 24, 25th, you know.
I got you.
I still dressed up in red. It was.
That's cool.
But I walked through the door. I didn't attempt any stunts.
Nope. Yeah, and that's probably what I would do too, honestly. I mean, I definitely wouldn't do the chimney, especially after hearing her monologue with her poor dad. They passed away. And I mean, they go into the whole thing about, you know, they got cold, so they wanted to light a fire. And that's when they noticed the smell. And then the fireman came. And so that's why she hates Christmas. And it's like, oh, it's like so heartbreaking. But at the same time, her delivery is just so funny. The way she's saying it,
So this movie has a barbecued gremlin and a barbecued dad. So.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, man, they love their barbecue, man.
Yep, in the fireplace.
Hey, why not? It's roasting on an open fire, I guess. I'll be here all week. Sorry, it's terrible, terrible.
That was awesome.
I'm sorry to anybody out there, but
don't be.
So they're there, and then, you know, all of a sudden they're kind of like, it's really quiet, you know, they're trying to like make their escape or whatever, and they notice that it's really quiet. So they kind of start looking and they realize that they're all in the movie theater and they're watching Snow White. This is like, I mean, it's just funny. They're, you know, hi ho.
You know what's funny about that? I mean, the whole scene is hilarious. But when they're like showing them all over the place, when one of them's like milk duds, like out of nowhere, milk duds.
Yeah. Well, that's back. I don't know if you remember, but in the previews, they used to show like, you know, instead of, they would do the movie previews, but they would also have like little commercials for like the candies and things like that, and the popcorn and the Cokes to go get you to get up and go get some. And so that reminded me of that. Like I had forgotten about that. They used to do that. And so Stripe, the leader, he like leaves to go get some more candy, and while he's gone, they rig it up so that the whole place is going to explode. And of course, the gremlins they kind of figure out what's happening because they see them behind the screen, and so they're like about to attack and get all this stuff. Anyway, they get away. Long story short, The thing blows up. They think they're fine until they see Stripe across the street eating his candy. It's like, he's like, uh-oh, I'm going to go make some more. Come on. It's like such a, It's like such a weird, funny bit, but I really love it. It's just, it's one of those things. And I think he's even in like a Montgomery Ward or something, if I remember correctly. But anyway, so they like, they chase him into the store and he like, oh, this is like the, one of the scariest parts to me where he gets like those razor blades, the like the saw blades, and he like starts throwing them. I mean, that used to, that scared me a lot. And then didn't he have like a bow and arrow as well? I
think so. You know that, you know, that's a part that's actually paused over here.
Oh, nice.
That's what I'm looking over here.
Nice.
Yeah, that's where they're looking for him in that store.
And I know he gets a chainsaw at like some point, and he's like, you know, Billy's like trying to fight him off with the bat, and he's like sawing through the bat, and it's like, ah, you know, kind of a thing. So he kind of gets away, and he gets into a fountain, and he's about to start multiplying, and it's like super gross. You know, you can see the pustules or whatever they are like forming, and Gizmo just kind of drives around in like a little Barbie car or something, and he manages to like launch himself onto some blinds, and so the sun, you know, the blinds open, they hit Stripe like right away, the sunlight gets him. Gizmo luckily had like kind of fallen and into the shade, and so it was not exposed, but he just like melts, and it's like the grossest effect ever. I mean, oh, like every time I remember, every time I saw it, it was just so so disgusting. But it's just one of those things where it's, you're like, oh man, like how did they do that? You know, of course it's just the slow melting, bubbly, gross thing until like all that's left of him is like his skull.
Yeah, but no but no CGI. Like all this is,
it's all real. That's what's so crazy. And it's oh man, it scared the heck out of me for like years. Just the whole thing. I couldn't do it. I mean every time I was in the dark, or whenever we'd go into a store and I'd see the blinds there, and I would always like think, you know, I hope there's no fountain. Like there better not be a fountain, because I don't want to see Stripe here, you know. Like it messed me up, man.
The local mall, I don't think they have a fountain anymore from where I'm from, but they used to have a fountain, and I remember me and my cousin talking about something like that after we saw that movie. But that was like, that was, I think, the first time that I've like watched the movie per se.
Okay.
I always looked up to my older cousin, and I know we said something about, and the fountain was dry, because usually for Christmas time, what they'll do in that fountain is they'll cover it, and they'll have, you know, towards December, the pictures with Santa, and then towards January, Los Tres Reyes, the same pictures with them.
Oh, so, but yeah.
In the fountain area, because that way they could build it up.
Makes sense. With, yeah.
Yeah. Like they'll have a nativity scene towards January, but they have all these gifts and everything with the elves and everything for December.
Right.
So we're like, so at least this Christmas is not going to be ruined by gremlins, but it's something that we did say when, you know, I was little. I mean, that mall was new. That mall was old now. So
yes, yeah, we have two malls in McAllen that we used to go to. And one was El Centro, you know, El Centro Mall. And that was like the old mall. And then the new mall was La Plaza, and or, you know, La Plaza, whatever. And it's one of those that, you know, it's like, ooh, they had all the nice new stores. And then, of course, the other one had like Montgomery Ward and as well. And it had some good stores in there, too. But it was just one of those where they started moving out and moving into the new mall. And so more and more became run down and less people went there and stuff like that. But I remember whenever we'd go into like the Montgomery Ward thinking like, oh, there better not be a fountain in here, because I'm not gonna mess with any of that stuff. But yeah, so Stripe melts, of course, as everything's calming down. Then was it Mr. Wing, you know, the grandpa as store owner, comes in and he's like, you're not ready, you know, I warned you. And he takes Gizmo back, but we get like a super sweet moment that gets me every time, where as he's, you know, he's like, huh, what? Oh, he wants to say something to you. And then he says in his cute little Gizmo voice, you know, bye, Billy. Oh, man, he gets me. It's like, tear. And, you know, and of course we get the voiceover at the end, which is amazing. But, yeah, this is one that was like, I mean, it was good. And it's I never really think of it as a Christmas movie, even though it happens at Christmas. You know, it's always more like a horror comedy that's just set at Christmas to me. But at the same time, you know, I can see, because I do get several Christmas feels here and there about it. So, yep. I mean, I can see why some people would count it. And So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a great movie, man.
But it feels Christmassy. It does.
Yeah.
Even in some part of the Havoc, like it feels Christmassy.
Yeah.
The snow in the cars, not so much.
Yeah, see, again, that part I don't understand.
like the cop car, it's driving away. It flips over and everything, and snow's intact. So,
well, you know, it's quote unquote snow.
Yeah, that's been my only issue with the movie.
Snow. Yeah,
the dry snow.
This was, I think, the very first movie where I heard. Or this was the first time I heard that song, Christmas, you know, Christmas, the snow's coming down, you know, that one, which kind of opens a movie. I'd never heard that song before I saw this movie. And so every time I hear it, I always think of Gremlins, which is, I mean, it's funny because, you know, you wouldn't think so, but that's, you know, that's what I think of when I hear it. But yeah, it's definitely, it's definitely a good one. I love this movie. It's a great movie.
Yep. It's creepy, and like I said, it took me years again to watch it.
Yeah,
and an invitation to Totally Rad Christmas, obviously, to fully watch it. Like right now, I have it just playing over. That's why I keep looking over there. Yeah, there goes Billy. Got hurt. Yep. It's in the very last scene.
Yes.
But yes, I didn't remember how much of the Christmas feels, you know, this had.
Yeah.
And it's something really, really old school. It's like 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
It's like you said, like for example, and I think this has been all over when the malls switch over from like the older malls to the more modern. It doesn't matter how many lights you put on those, like how many Christmas decorations, how high the tree is and everything. The Christmas feels always came from like the older malls.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
With the older stores, I guess, with the raggedy roller doors and all that, you know,
yeah.
that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So this town, like, it gave me like the real, real Christmas feels and also creeped me out. But when they're fighting, when everything's going crazy, uh-huh. like you see them in the windows, all over in the cars, playing with the traffic lights and everything. Like you see all that. That's like even with all the horror going around. It feels Christmassy.
Well, yeah, because they try to go for like a real small town, you know, vibe. And so there's it's like very Norman Rockwell, you know, kind of that era, you know, where you think of when you see the prints, you know, those prints of his where, you know, of Santa. And I mean, it's like that whole real small town kind of vibe, you know. And so then for all this to happen there, I mean, it's really jarring because you don't expect to see evil demon creatures terrorizing that little quaint, you know, picturesque small town. It's just one of those things you're like, what? And I know Leonard Maltin, that film critic, he kind of despised it because of that. He was like, it's too violent. It doesn't belong in like this small town, whatever. And then later on, they brought him back for part two to kind of, you know, do an inside joke about that, which I thought was great. It's a funny little bit there. You know,
you know what's also funny? When they're coming up the street, as soon as like they come from the swimming pool, uh-huh. Like one, two, and then they start popping up and everything.
that always also got me every time. I was like, no, there's so many.
Yep.
I remember that definitely scared me a few times, but
I've never enjoyed, like, I'll tell you one thing. I've never enjoyed this movie as much as I have today.
Nice.
I could share that it creeped me out, but I could share the Christmas feels because not everybody understands when you talk about Christmas feels.
Yeah.
Unless it's like December 23rd or 24th, then oh yeah, they know Christmas feels there. Nah.
Mm-hmm.
We go through it all year long.
Like, yeah.
I
try my best to. This franchise, I mean, it spawned like some video games. Of course, there was the novelization I mentioned. The toys, there was like a bunch of toys of stuffed animals, also the hard plastic ones. There was even like a fast food deal with Hardee's that had like some books and cassette. I don't know if you remember those, the Yeah, it was like little books that came with the cassette.
Because at that time, I was still in Puerto Rico, and we don't have Hardee's over there.
Oh, I gotcha. I had a book with one of the little records that you would play. And so you'd put the record on, and it would kind of read the book for you, so you kind of would follow along as it would read it. And so it was, you know, for younger children to kind of help you read. But I remember like looking through it and always getting scared as well, but still I had to keep going, you know, cause I knew it was going to end well. I knew it, you know, the good guys win at the end, but like I had to keep going. So even though I was scared, I'd look through it. But yeah, it was like really, really successful. And of course, as I mentioned, it was influential. So, you know, it spawned all sorts of copycats, and that's really how, you know, you kind of did something original and you kind of made it. And yeah, it was because of this movie and because of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom that the PG-13 rating was created. It was like, it's not bad enough to be R, but it's still not quite good enough to be PG. And so they came up with that third system, you know, or that fourth one in between, you know, the PG-13. Of course, Red Dawn would go on to be the first one. But yeah, I mean, it's a great movie, and yeah, definitely gives you Christmas feels somewhere, sometimes in there.
You know, when you watch a movie, like for example, growing up, you watch a movie and you see that there's a toy or there's something presented that, oh, I want that. Uh-huh. I don't want, and I don't think I ever wanted any of the inventions in that movie.
For real. They were always backfiring, the smokeless ashtray that smoked all over.
But the guy just kept opening and closing it and coughing there. I'm like, dude, and then he just traded it for a bunch of what were those car parts? I don't know what the heck they were.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
He said something about the guarantee or the warranty. I'm like, what? The guy's just
yeah, some of his inventions he was not a very good inventor. or he had good ideas, he just did not do it very well, like the juicer.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna go, like what's his name, Corey Feldman's character, he's uh-huh. like aren't you supposed to put like orange juice in cartons?
yeah exactly, yeah.
Or something like that. I don't know, like I probably killed that phrase, but yes.
Yeah, the what was it, the Peltzer something, I don't remember what it was, but the bathroom buddy, I kind of get. As now that I have to shave and groom myself, I kind of get. Oh, it, you know.
Yeah. No, the one thing about his inventions, the coffee maker, like she knows they all backfire and she just goes and looks very close at the coffee thing before like all that sludge comes out. Yeah. I wouldn't go 10 feet close to that thing. I wouldn't even use it.
Yep.
Hey, she's lucky that wasn't the orange juicer. So it's, you know,
for real.
It would have been a complete different movie.
Still would have been a horror though, but I got to ask Manny, what would you say is your happiest like memory or moment of this movie here?
Right after he gets Gizmo, mm-hmm. when they're showing the town.
Okay.
Like what I keep emphasizing on, like the Christmas feels, the Christmas movies, yeah. before we see Mrs. Deagle.
Yes.
After Gizmo, before Mrs. Deagle.
Okay, right on. Yeah, she's funny because she's kind of like, you know, as I mentioned, she's like the Scrooge, except yeah. she doesn't get any redemption. Yep. or the Grinch, who also doesn't get any redemption. I mean, she's just like Mr. Potter, I guess, from It's a Wonderful Life. Just the evil.
She gets to fly.
You know. Well, she does, yeah. she gets a free flight. I think for me, my favorite, my happiest memory would be going to see it in the theater. But moment would be the carolers. They, you know, even though it's awful, so nice. And scary and you know, it leads
the gremlin carolers.
The gremlin carolers, yeah.
At the beginning they actually have actual carolers in.
They do, yeah. But
he's fucking her.
I like the gremlin carolers. Just because they're so funny with their little scarves and their coats and their top hats, and you know, they're trying to be like Victorian era singers, and it's just I don't know what it is, just la la la, you know, and their voices. I can't do it, but their little gremlin voices, it just cracks me up like so bad.
Okay, so I'm gonna change that.
Okay,
my happiest, you know, part with this movie, it's
okay.
This whole episode, honestly, because I've never nice. Been so happy, and it, like I said it before, I've never enjoyed this movie so much. Like
nice
since like as of like how I've, oh my God, I can't talk now.
No worries.
I'm not thinking in English or Spanish now, but I've never had so much fun with this movie.
It's because you're thinking in Gremlin. You're thinking in Gremlin. In Mogwai language. Yum, yum.
Oh, still not. It's still not midnight. You know. You know. I grew up. Oh, yeah. You know, I grew up with that. Like, not like it wasn't until I was like 14, 15 that I started getting like the munchies when we used to have the late night sleepover with my cousin, stuff like that.
Yeah. Before,
I was freaked out. I didn't want to eat past midnight because I didn't want something like that. And it stuck with me, like I said, for years until almost high school.
Yeah, for real. This is one, and Joe Dante, the director himself, even admitted like years later that the advertising, it kind of sold it as like a family movie. So people were upset when, you know, they took their 4-year-olds to see it and it was not what they thought. Because they purposely left a lot of the gremlins out of it, you know, in their advertising. So they would show the rules, they would focus on, you know, Gizmo. And I mean, because of course he's like so cute and cuddly. You know, he's like this furry little guy. You just want to like hug him, you know.
And, do you know if Furbies came from Gizmo? Like,
you know, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
It's way too similar.
They are very similar, yeah.
I mean, they're actually creepier too.
So. I think so too, because they kind of have like a little beak or something on them, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just, oof, yeah.
But the eyes, I mean.
I saw it was it was like the Mogwai were like, it was a meme and it was like Baby Yoda. Or like one of Yoda's species and like an Ewok or something. And and like their little baby was a Mogwai.
I could never unsee that now.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. But it's pretty funny. But now we come to my favorite part of the show, which is a little segment I like to call Gag Me with a Spoon. So this is where we do our best impression of our least favorite part of the movie. And we'll leave it up to the listeners to vote and decide who had the best impression. Winner gets a totally rad Christmas sticker, unless I win, in which case I get a big fat nothing. But I think you're going to be okay because so far I have yet to win. Even now, I still have not won. But as a guest, I'll let you go first. Just kind of set up the scene and you're cracking yourself up just thinking about it. Oh man,
I can't, like, nothing really comes to mind now. and I've been having trouble keeping my mouth shut the whole episode.
Oh man. Okay, well, I'll go first if you want. I can go first.
Yes.
Okay, so this is when they're in the bank and Billy has to bring his dog along with him. So he goes in the bank, and of course Mrs. Deagle has complained because his dog like broke her whatever crazy snowman thing. And so he's, you know, she's upset. She wants the dog to be put down anyway, but he's like in the bank and the boss is like, is that a dog or something like that? And so, what's his name? Judge Reinhold from, you know, the actor, he's playing this little bit part of like his boss named Gerald. And so this is Gerald saying, Peltzer, this is a bank, not a pet store. I didn't do that good at all. I can't do Judge Reinhold, but I was like, ah, really? Okay. So that was my least favorite part. Everything else just too funny. I couldn't pick anything else. I had to kind of go with that.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
All right.
When Miss Deagle walks into the bank the second time, okay, and she asks for the dog, and he's like, he's on vacation.
That was good. Oh yeah, that's good. Mrs. Deagle, she was so nasty, wasn't she? She's just a piece of work.
Yeah, she was Scrooge, the Grinch, and Cruella de Vil.
Cruella, yeah, you're right. Yeah, she was just...
Especially trying, you know... And the other guy, at the first time she went to the bank, like, she's describing all the mean things she wants to do to the dog, and the guy's just agreeing with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that type of thing won't fly in 2020.
No, you can't be mean to dogs. Nope. You will be canceled. Oh man, so you know, I have to wonder, because G.I. Joe, they taught us that knowing is half the battle. What would you say is the other half?
Why do you put me on the spot? Oh wait, there's nobody else here.
I mean, I could ask myself, but I mean,
knowing is half the battle. What is the other half? Oh, is it experiencing it?
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
It's good. No, but you don't really know until you experience it. So
it's true. Yeah. Especially in a lot of things. So fighting gremlins. So for me, if knowing is half the battle, the other half is that if you don't want to be blown up, go look for candy at Montgomery Ward. Oh man, Manny, this has been so much fun talking with you about this movie. I had a blast doing it. And what do you want to plug? Tell me about your show.
All right. Like you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, my show is Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad. It's a bilingual, multilingual Christmas podcast. We really don't have ground. I mean, we all know it's Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get a lot of surprises. Like I was telling Jerry before we started recording, I'm soon going to have episodes also full Spanish. And by this time, you should have already heard our Halloween. We're still too small to have a Patreon or anything like that for bonus. So we're going to just throw the bonuses in there. And by this time, I just want, if you haven't heard it, go back in time and hear our Halloween episode. And I want to know your thoughts about it. But basically, we're going to talk about Christmas foods, locations. I am going to do my best to go to all these places, Christmas places around me that I could drive to. And obviously have my mask with me, my microphone and my tape measure and stay 6 feet away from anyone, but still trying to capture the magic and share with everybody. And you could find us, and this comes from Jerry, Chris. I remember this conversation when I was thinking about the podcast. They said, get a good handle, you know, something easy to find. And it used to be Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad podcast. But then again, I didn't even want to type that in. So you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FCMN Podcast. Or you could just find all of those in FCMNpodcast.com. Or reach me if you want to send me any comments. Hopefully they're good. Or ask me for my address to send me a Christmas card at Manny@FCMNpodcast.com.
Right on. Yeah, definitely check him out. It's good stuff. He's got some pretty good interviews there. It was the one with Lassa from It's a 90s Christmas podcast that I really enjoyed that conversation. So, I mean, you got to check it out. It's good
stuff. That's a three-part episode.
It is.
And there's still like another hour and a half that we edited out.
I know how that goes. Whenever I have my brothers on, it's always like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And so I usually have to do my best to cut at least 30 minutes. Usually it's closer to an hour. So I understand that completely.
Yep. And then there's this bonus conversation. Hey, I'm going to take advantage. I probably have to pay you for plugging this into.
No. Go for it. That's why I asked.
There's a little Christmas related in the subject that I'm talking with Chris from Christmas Time in the City. Not Chris, but Chris. And it's Batman. It's a Batman conversation that it has something to do with Christmas just because Batman Returns. I think we mentioned it there, or we say Christmas here in some part. But yes, it's a whole Batman conversation. But I don't know when you hear this, if it's going to be out there, or I'm just going to randomly throw it out there because it's a funny conversation. And I learned something that I didn't know, but I'm not going to say it now.
Right on. It's funny how many of us Christmas podcast hosts love Batman. Because yeah, you, Chris, and then of course Tom and Anthony from Tis a Podcast, and I had one of their Patreon episodes was all about Batman that I was a guest on, and there Tom came on my show and we did a Batman episode as well. But that was
also,
more about
the I also comics. Like the episode I also like the episode with you and Anthony, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of
Superman. Oh, yeah, the Superman one, yeah.
I was washing my car and it took me longer than it should have. I kept opening the car door. I'm like, oh, I didn't know about this. Oh, I got to research now.
It's funny. Yeah, they had some pretty interesting Christmas episodes. Oh, man. Manny, it's been great. And thank you for coming on.
I want to thank you for having me. Like I said, this has been a very, very long week, but I've been looking forward to this so much. And this has been my escape, like my little Christmas break in between. And it cost me $148 today.
Sorry.
Why are you sorry? I mean, It was buying Christmas decorations.
Just because it was unplanned. That's all. If you had, planned a little bit better.
If HBO Max would have left the Gremlins movie there, I could have just watched it in my living room down there with my wife. But I decided not to rent it and go buy it, and HBO. Out came an adventure.
But Gremlins, no, I think you came out better. I think you came out on the plus side of this deal here. With the, you got your own movies plus a nice little part addition to your village. So I think you came out on top.
There's new citizens down there now.
There you go. Yeah. And on that note, I'm going to say thanks again, and I'm going to end it with, so if your air conditioner goes on the fritz, or your washing machine blows up, or your video recorder conks out, before you call the repairman, turn on all the lights, check all the closets and cupboards, look under all the beds, because you never can tell. There just might be a gremlin in your house. So check us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're feeling like Billy, who's just gotten a new Mogwai pet, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Don't forget to vote. Later, dudes.
Hi, this is Manny from Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad, the bilingual, multilingual Christmas podcast. In our podcast, you will hear about foods, traditions, how this 2020 Christmas will be interesting, especially from 6 feet away, and many more new surprises. Join me on the road to Christmas, along with many guest hosts from other podcasts from the Christmas Podcast Network. You can listen to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, or just search for us on your favorite podcast platform. You could also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FCMN Podcast. Or visit our website, fcmnpodcast.com. Feliz Christmas, Merry Navidad.